If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 775. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about caves and forts, pastel houses and pink beaches, shipwrecks and shorts as we go to the island of Bermuda. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Bermuda. I'd like to welcome to the show Victoria Heinz from GuideYourTravel.com, who has come to talk to us about the island of Bermuda. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
And Bermuda, an island in the Atlantic, what is your connection with Bermuda?
Well, growing up, I had family living in Bermuda, so I was very fortunate that I got to visit them from time to time. So I spent quite a few summers there as a kid, and then I kind of found myself returning over and over again because it's so beautiful there.
Excellent. And why should someone go to Bermuda?
Well, for me, Bermuda is literally a piece of paradise. It's absolutely stunning, and a lot of people actually overlook it for like other Caribbean islands that might be a bit more accessible and more popular. But Bermuda is just gorgeous. It has some of the best beaches I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a comparable beach than like a Bermudian beach. Some of them are pink from like the coral. So just taking pictures of them or anything, they look really impressive. Like if you show someone a picture of a Bermuda beach, they'll always be amazed that that's real. And then just the general underwater world is also quite beautiful, I found, like snorkeling, scuba diving. It's just amazing. I really like the water sports and everything. But yeah, I think that will have to be like my two big arguments for going there. It's also quite small, so you can kind of see and do a lot in a short time span without having to travel for hours, because you can get anywhere on the island in like less than half an hour.
Well, and you said comparing it to some of the islands in the Caribbean, and I'm probably going to end up, I think if you find Bermuda content on Amateur Traveler, it's lumped in the Caribbean, which is really a lie.
It is. But it's so remote and like in an awkward place in the Atlantic that you can't really group it with anything else.
You could group it with Iceland, but I don't really have a category for Atlantic. And but that's where we are. It's closer to, I think, New York City than it would be to Cuba, for instance.
It is. I think the closest shore is actually North Carolina, which is just around 1,000 kilometers from Bermuda. But still, that's a long way. And then I think flight wise, you'd fly out of New York, which is like a 2-hour flight.
Well, and I cruised there when I was there, and we cruised out of New York. So
yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
And it was a day at sea either way. So you, before you went out there, but excellent. Well, what are you going to recommend that we do when we're in Bermuda?
Well, like I said, Bermuda is quite small, but there's actually a lot to see and do. Like, you're not going to be bored for a week. Like, I'd recommend more than a week if you can, but a week will get you like a great overview of what there is in Bermuda. Obviously, the beaches are the star of the show. There's so many. The most famous one is probably Horseshoe Bay, which is like the postcard beach you'll find everywhere. If you Google Bermuda, that's the beach that's going to show up. And it's just absolutely stunning, like white sand, black kind of volcanic looking rocks and like green scenery. It's amazing.
Well, and I don't remember where Horseshoe Bay is on the island.
I'm pretty sure it's like kind of in the south.
I was going to put it in the southwest of the island.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like the most populous part of the island, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because the capital, Hamilton, is kind of like in the middle, in like the bend, because Bermuda is kind of like half moon shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And then Horseshoe Bay would be like at the bottom of the island before it goes back up.
Okay. Is Horseshoe Bay going to be our, we just got off a plane, we worked really hard for the week before, and now let's just relax portion of our itinerary here?
I would say so. I think every tourist needs to go to Horseshoe Bay. I'd say first. I mean, it is quite a popular beach, and that's why it can get crowded, obviously, especially when the cruise ships arrive. I always say that like Bermuda completely transforms when there's a cruise ship in town, because the islands just get flooded with people. And then once the cruise ships leave again, it's just completely empty. So that's really nice if you kind of time your beach time around the cruise ships.
Right, right. Well, and that does mean, too, for those of us who are on a cruise ship who are spending that day at sea, quite likely it's going to be the early and end of the week, for instance, that will be less crowded with cruise ships because they tend to leave on weekends.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That would be my first tip, to kind of go to the beach immediately when you get to Bermuda, just to get in that island feeling and like you've arrived, you're on vacation mm-hmm. now, and then you can get some sightseeing in the next few days.
Excellent. Well, where to next?
Well, Hamilton, the capital, is kind of the place to be in Bermuda if you want to get some shopping done, kind of local products. If you want to have a look, I think there's an art gallery there, stuff like that, a few museums. There's the like beach promenade walk with like the pastel houses. It's a very photogenic little, I'd say town, but it's technically it's a city. That's where I'd go, kind of get a feeling for the island. This is also where you'll find like most of the restaurants and like bars and stuff, but it's still very quiet. Like Bermuda is not going to be a nightlife hotspot or like a place where you go out and meet people. It's very quiet, very secluded.
Well, and you mentioned the pastel houses. That's tends to be a very Bermudian thing. I think about the photos that I came back with and also the white roofs.
Yes, the roofs, they're actually used for collecting rainwater because
mm-hmm.
the island obviously has a water problem because it's in the middle of nowhere. I'm not even sure if there's fresh water on the island. Maybe there is, not an expert, but they use it to collect the rainwater and it kind of goes in a tank below the house. And then you can use that water for everything around the house. That's why the roofs always need to stay like perfectly clean and white so you can kind of have that water.
Right. Well, and I think you're right. I mean, it's a small enough island. I don't think there are any rivers, although there are some cave systems. So there are clearly some, if there are rivers, they may be underground.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think mostly it's salt water.
Right. Right. And I think you're actually required to have your roof system for collecting water and things like that. So it is a very mm-hmm. notable feature, all these white roof houses.
And what you don't want is to run out of water and have to buy the water truck to come to your house and hire them, because that's really expensive. Like everything on that island, that's going to cost you a lot of money. So always be careful with water on the island because it's very scarce.
Well, and that's probably because it's desalinated at that point, which is an expensive process. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I remember when we were in port in Bermuda, we were in port in three different places on the island,
mm-hmm.
in Hamilton, in St. George's, mm-hmm. and down at the Naval Dockyard. So at the east end of the island, the west end of the mm-hmm. island, and the middle of the island over the course of the week. And at some point, the ship was running out of water, and so they needed to leave. It's like, you can go explore Hamilton today, but we need to leave port so we can go sail out and desalinate. And you don't do that in port. You do that further away where the water is cleaner. So, yeah, because in many ports, they would just buy water.
Yeah.
But I think it was just too expensive, and you're on a floating desalinization system, it's easier to do that. Excellent. Well, where to next? Or is there more things we want to do and see in Hamilton? You mentioned restaurants. Are there any particular ones that you would recommend, or particular dishes we should get in Hamilton?
I think we spent quite a lot of time at a restaurant called Huckleberry, if I remember correctly. That was nice, but like all restaurants in Bermuda, quite expensive, obviously, very luxurious. Like, you're not going to find like affordable street food or like a quick snack somewhere. It's always going to be like a nice restaurant with like fancy dishes. And if that's what you're looking for, that's great. But just keep in mind, like, eating out is going to cost you a lot in Bermuda. So yeah, the Huckleberry, I think, was something we did a few times, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And that's in Hamilton, is what I'm saying.
That's in Hamilton, yeah. Otherwise, Hamilton, it has like you mentioned, a little port, like a harbor, and that's where a ferry leaves. And that will take you to, I think, the dockyard and also St. George's. So that's kind of a great point to start to get to other places in the island without having to drive, which will be a lot quicker and like more scenic, obviously.
Got it. And the dockyard being the far west and the St. George's being the far east.
Yeah, exactly. Bermuda is kind of strung up like a chain, I guess. So the dockyard's one end, St. George's the other. And to drive from one end to the other, I think it takes like over an hour.
I can believe that. Sure.
Yeah.
It's not that it's that far.
It's really not. I think lengthwise, it must be like 40 kilometers or something. So not very long, but the maximum speed on the island is 35 kilometers per hour. Not sure what that is in miles per hour, like 20, I guess. So you can't go very fast.
Right, right. Okay. And what are we going to do next?
We've seen Hamilton. If you do want to take the ferry to St. George's, I'd recommend that because it's so far away from everything else. It's kind of near the airport. But St. George's is just beautiful. It's kind of like this little artist town, like a lot quieter than Hamilton. You get like historic buildings, and yeah, it's just a great place to hang out. I think this is also like where the first settlement on the island was. So it's like the old town. I think get like little shops where you can buy art and jewelry and stuff like that. So if you want to go shopping, that's also a good place to go.
I remember going in the historic church that is very close to the dockyard there in St. George's, founded in the 1600s. So, you know, one of those you knew it was old as there was a plaque in there. And I'm not sure if people know that English used to have a double S letter like German.
Oh, really? It did?
Yeah, it hasn't for 400 years or something like that, but it did in the 1600s. And so if you looked, there's that double S that looks like a FS character. I don't remember what it's called in German. Your family being from Germany, you might might have a word for that, but I don't.
Yeah, just a German word.
But you're reading this thing about how they're blessed, but with the characters they're using, it looked like they were bleffed.
Bleffed.
We're blessed.
It's a list there.
It's like, oh, this is old. So
yeah, it is. It is St. Peter's Church, I think you're talking about.
That sounds right.
I remember visiting that. It's very beautiful. Like a nice spot, especially with the history that's connected. Definitely worth
going. That is the oldest surviving Anglican and oldest continuously occupied Protestant church in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Not very big.
No.
St. George's has never been a particularly large site. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site because of that significance.
Yes, I was going to mention that. It's definitely an impressive place to go. Very quiet, like you're not going to be in this big town or city. It's going to be like a little village by the sea. And it's
exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually settled by the Virginia Company, the same people then who went on to settle Jamestown.
Oh, okay.
Which I didn't realize until I was doing my homework here.
Yeah. Bermuda does have an interesting history. It's played like very...
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping is always curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Important roles in different wars and like the forts on the islands are like quite interesting to visit if you're into like Civil War history and stuff like that.
Well, and you mentioned the forts and we were in St. George's, so we should mention there's one right there.
Yeah, we're going to head to Fort St. Catherine, which is, I think, the most important fort on the island. There's quite a few to choose from. There's also Gates Fort, I think it's called, which is also close to St. George.
Oh, okay. I don't know Gates Fort.
It's not as well known. Okay. I think everyone always goes to St. Catherine, but mm-hmm. Gates is a bit underrated. I'd go there if you have time. It's not too far away. But St. Catherine is the place to go. It's nice for sunsets and just like, I don't know, learning about the history, which I think is very important for the island with a colonial past.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a couple beaches right near Fort St. Catherine, so you can plan your beach outing at the same time, but taking a little views of from the fort's ramparts and the cannons and such. Yeah.
Stunning views, yeah. And everything in Bermuda is just going to have a beach nearby, so you'll never be too far away.
Although the one thing I should say is if the cruise ships are in town, so the one beach on the way to Fort St. Catherine, there's one right below St. Catherine, but there's another one.
St. Catherine's Beach, yeah.
Yeah, and that one doesn't get quite as crowded when the cruise ships go in, but the one that is to the other side in the protected bay, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, gets very, very, very busy when the cruise ships are in St. George's. So it's to the left or to the west of St. Catherine and I'm Tobacco Bay, I think maybe the name of it.
Oh, yes, Tobacco Bay. You're right. Now I know what you're talking about. Tobacco Bay is very famous, very popular, definitely. You're right, with the cruise ships.
And it's a very lovely bay, but it's less lovely when it's completely filled with cruise ship passengers.
Oh, yeah. That's always keep an eye out for the schedule of the cruise ships because that's going to change your experience of Bermuda a lot.
Well, and especially in towns like St. George's that are so small.
Yes, you're going to notice the hundreds of tourists walking through.
Yeah, I don't remember what the population of St. George's is, but I know you're at least it doubling it. Well, it's 1,500, so when you put in a cruise ship with 2,000 people, you are more than doubling the number of people in town.
Yes.
Anything else while we're in St. George's? Anything else you would recommend we do while we're in that end of the island?
I don't know. I think we've kind of hit the hot spots. There's a park on the southwestern end of St. George's Island. It's called Fairy Point Park.
Okay.
That's quite nice for like a picnic if you want. There's also a few beaches down there. It's this kind of peninsula-shaped tongue of land. There's another fort down there as well called Fairy Island Fort. Those are quite nice. A lot more quiet if you kind of want to escape the crowds. You could head in that direction, I guess. But if you're short on time, this wouldn't be the most important thing to visit in Bermuda, in my opinion.
Okay, got it.
But other than that, I think you've kind of seen the best parts of St. George's and it might be time to head back to the main island.
Now, in between, and you see the main island, I forgot actually that St. George's was a different island. I had to look at the map while you were saying that. Yes, okay.
But it is connected via bridges, so you won't have to swim.
Well, and that's the thing. When we talk about driving the whole island, you're really driving a string of islands that are now connected by roads and bridges and causeways. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bermuda is over 180 islands in total, but most of them are just like rocks somewhere in the ocean. And then you'll find like the main inhabited islands are just a handful.
Now, one set of things that are popular to do that I have not done that are in between St. Catharines and Hamilton are the caves.
The caves, my favorite.
Okay, good. You have done it.
I love them. I have, yeah. I think they should be at the top of your list. A lot of tourists actually skip the caves, I think, because if you see these stunning beaches, you won't want to head into like a dark cave somewhere. But they're well worth it. I highly recommend seeing the caves.
So there's two main caves in the island. Am I got that correct?
Yeah, there's two big ones. There's definitely like smaller ones that will just be like you can walk in and have a look around, but it's not anything exciting. But Crystal and Fantasy Cave are like the best ones in my opinion.
Okay. So we're doing a cave. It's, I don't know, 20-40 minute tour below the water level of the cave. Anything else we need to know about this for people who have either been to other caves elsewhere or who haven't?
I think I've done Crystal and Fantasy Caves. There's also a Cathedral Cave.
Right.
They're all quite different. One of them, I think Cathedral Cave, you can just walk in.
Okay.
You don't need a tour. You kind of just look inside and it kind of looks, it reminded me of like Mexican cenotes, like a cave with water in them. It's like really, really nice, very beautiful. They have lights in there, so it's all illuminated. The water is like crystal clear. But then Crystal and Fantasy Caves, I think you have to take a tour to see them, if I remember correctly.
That looks correct from what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah. And that requires you to like walk through the cave and like small parts of it. And like if you're a bit claustrophobic, maybe skip this one because it does get a bit intense in parts. But nothing, you won't have to rock climb or anything. It's just a tight space, but it's very beautiful with lots of water inside and it's great. Highly recommend.
Excellent. What else should we tell people to do while they're in Bermuda?
Well, now that we're kind of in this cave area, I'd say you should hit up Blue Hole Park, which is kind of like close to the nature reserve. I forget the name of the nature reserve. It kind of blends together with Blue Hole Park. It's this area with a little nature park. You can go hiking. You can have like view of the ocean. And then there's the caves and stuff. So it's, I think you should spend like half a day in this area just exploring.
Okay.
Because it's not too big, obviously, on a small island, but...
Is that the Eidwall Hughes Nature Reserve?
Yes, that sounds right. Yeah, I can never remember that name.
I don't know why, Eidwall Hughes. I mean, who can forget Mr. Eidwall?
Yeah, very memorable. Hughes. I'm sure he did great things to have a nature reserve named after him. But yeah, great area, not very crowded. You might encounter a few tourists around the cave, but the park and reserve in general should be quiet and like a great getaway from the crowds and stuff like that. So definitely explore that area.
Okay. And when we say a nature reserve, are we reserving it for particular wildlife or what are we going to find at the nature reserve?
Bermuda, actually, as far as I'm aware, doesn't even have any native mammals. I think they have a few species of bat, but that's pretty much it. Bermuda isn't the big like land wildlife place to go. It's quite remote. So most species there are invasive, I think.
Oh, and more caves, apparently.
Lots of caves. You'll find them everywhere.
I didn't know there were caves in the nature reserve also.
There are, yeah. But like I said, quite small. I think nothing you could tour, just something you can look in, have a look.
Oh, and acres of mangroves. That's the other thing we would find there, apparently. Okay.
Yes, mangroves. You're right. This is like probably not the place to go for white sand beaches, but more like calm waters.
Okay.
It's like close to that bay and stuff. It's not the best for swimming, but great for having a look and like enjoying the view.
Got it. Well, and Blue Hole Park does look like a place where people are swimming.
It has that little lake, like the hole, I guess.
With the blue hole.
Yeah, the blue hole. People do swim in that. I stand corrected. You're right.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do in this area, this western edge of the main island, I guess is what we would call this.
I think if you head down to like the southern coast of the island, you'll find like quite a few nice beaches. I think Spittle Pond is like a nice area. It's not a beach per se.
I'm just thinking about swimming in Spittle Pond and there's something that is unwelcoming about that or something.
I don't think you should swim there. I think the sea's quite rough okay. in that area. But it is very nice for like hiking again and just taking photos. It's beautiful. The scenery's like the coastline's quite rough with the rocks and everything, which okay. is great for exploring. Again, not very touristy. So if you want to get away, kind of walk along that coast, I'd recommend that.
Okay. And I'm looking at the origin of the name is uncertain, but it probably traces back to several places in Scotland that have spittle as part of their name. So we can blame this one on the Scots.
Oh, I actually went to uni in Scotland, so it's quite a normal word for me. I didn't find it that funny at first. And I noticed, I was like, oh, you're right. Maybe it sounds a bit strange.
It just seems like Spittle Pond is going to be a very small pond at that point.
It's close to Jeffrey's Hole. That's what I meant. Jeffrey's Hole. It's like this tidal, like a pool, I guess.
Okay.
Very nice.
Well, and we see at Jeffrey's Hole, so usually when we are talking about a hole and it's around the edge of the coast, that it is an area that is filling up with seawater and sometimes spouting mm-hmm. seawater, depending on which...
That's a good way to describe it.
Okay. All right. Got the right mental picture here.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do in that region?
I think we're going to head back towards Hamilton a bit. We're kind okay. of... If we go past Hamilton, we'll get to Southampton, which is a very popular area. This is like where you'll find nicer hotels, Airbnbs. This is where I'd recommend you stay if you can. I really enjoy this area.
Okay.
You get like all the best beaches and you're well connected to most parts of Bermuda. You're kind of in the middle. So this is where I'd go on a little beach road trip, if you will.
Got it. Okay.
So... For example, you'll kind of drive past Elbow Beach, which I think is a great name. It's not even shaped like an elbow. I'm not sure why they named it that, but it's great. It's a great alternative to Horseshoe Bay. If that does get too crowded, I'd go to Elbow Beach because it's just as beautiful, I think. It's just a bit underrated.
Well, and this is the region of the island where we're going to find some of the pink beaches then, yes. as I recall.
Yes, that's where you'll find the... Classic Bermuda pink beaches, although they do look more pink on camera. If you expect like to find a bright pink beach,
right.
don't be disappointed. But if you kind of squint your eyes a bit, they will be pink.
Yeah, I have some photos that I took there. You talk about the, is this real? Just empty lounge chairs and the pinkish beach. You're right, it's not pink. The beach umbrellas, and it's kind of my happy place.
It is. That's a good way to describe it.
Excellent. Anything else we're doing down in the Southampton area?
I would definitely head to Gibbs Hill Lighthouse, which okay. is one of the island's like biggest, most recognizable lighthouses. You'll find that on a lot of postcards as well. And you can actually go up and you'll have the best view of the entire island. It's stunning.
Very nice. You can actually go up, you mean to the top of where the light is?
Yes, you can.
Oh, nice. That's you don't get to do that many places anymore.
Yeah, and it's actually still working, if I'm correct. The last time I was there, it was still working. I'm assuming it still is. Mm-hmm. But it's still in operation, and I think it dates back to the 19th century or something, so quite old for an island like this.
1844.
Oh, there you go. Nice fact-checking.
That's what I'm here for, so.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want to tell everyone lies just based off my memories, and you never know.
Well, and now, so we mentioned that it was a long island. It's a fishhook shape. I guess we called it a crescent, mm-hmm. but I think I've heard it described crescent, as yeah. a fishhook, and Gibbs Hill Lighthouse is where it starts to hook back up towards the yes. Royal Dockyards.
The bottom, I'd say, the very southern areas yep. of the island.
Excellent. Where to next?
Well, if we think of the fishhook, we're kind of in the bend right now, and now we're starting to head up back in the northern direction towards like the tip of the fishhook.
Yep.
And this is where the island gets very skinny. So in parts of it, it's just a road, basically a bridge. Right. There's not much island left. But if you go all the way to the tip, you'll end up in Dockyard, uh-huh. which is like a very important place in Bermuda. And also like this is where most of the cruise ships dock. I think the very big ones can only go here.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay. Huh.
Because you mentioned you were in all three places, in all three docks.
Right.
But I think most people, like the day trip tourists that arrive in Bermuda, will only be in dockyards. So this does get very crowded.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was in a 1,500, 2,000 passenger cruise ship. So not one of the big 5,000 person floating cities. Yeah.
That'll be more nimble and kind of can get into the smaller ports.
Right. It was big the time.
At the time. I can still imagine it being very big.
I think seriously, I think this is one of the ones where the captain told us that when they built it, it was considered one of the big ships, and now it's considered one of the small ships.
Aw. Nice. Yeah, dockyards, great. I'd definitely go there. I think you also have like a fort situation, if I remember correctly,
right.
Or like at least like parts of old naval construction down there.
Yeah, I want to say there was a naval museum there, but I'm doing this from memory.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, National Museum of Bermuda.
Yes, they have these like covered markets, which I really enjoyed. It's great for like souvenir shopping and kind of looking around. They sell like local products. So that's really nice, especially if you happen to have like a rainy day. That's great because it's indoor.
Well, and you're not really, it's interesting that the big cruise ships are there. That does mean that there are very few beaches in this part of
the island.
There's Dockyard Beach, which is a tiny beach, as I recall. And then we went, I think, all the way down to Long Bay Beach, which is a couple miles away. Because I remember I walked back.
Oh no!
Decided that
that sounds very long.
That I wanted to see it. It was not just a long walk, but it is a warm climate, and at one point you walk through on this very narrow route that you were talking about. You're walking through an old cemetery. Mm-hmm. With somebody who likes history, it was interesting because they were graves going back to the 1600s or the 1700s. But I did notice as I'm walking back with not enough water on a very warm day that I'm looking at graves of people who died of sunstroke.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Memorable.
Not what you want to read on a walk like that.
So yeah, if you are on a cruise ship and you're parked up there, you're basically going to be taking shuttles to most places in the islands.
Oh yeah. Don't estimate how kind of long Bermuda can get, because if you find yourself in St. George's and your ship's leaving in an hour, you have a problem, because getting back will take a while.
Yeah, you're not going to get there very fast.
No, nothing in Bermuda moves very fast.
Well, we were talking about Bermuda. We've talked about Bermuda now for a little bit, and we haven't mentioned the elephant in the room. What's with the shorts?
I was thinking you're going to say the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh,
okay.
No.
The shorts. Oh, my. I love the shorts. It's just great. It's island life. It just gives you, I don't know, that feeling that you're in a place where everything moves a bit slower and everything's a bit more laid back.
But it's not island life like Hawaii island life, like hang loose sort of thing. It's more of we're still formal.
No, it's very
but we're casual about our formal.
It's, I don't know, especially like people going to the office there, like Bermuda's
exactly.
A big insurance industry. They all wear the shorts and they've like the socks pulled up to the knees, and they wear like pastel colored Bermuda shorts and a shirt and tie. Like everything else looks normal.
Right. You're dressed up for work at a bank or something like that, but with the shorts. It's a real thing.
And you can't go to work with a normal suit. People will look at you and be like, what's going on with you? Like, you'll stand out if you dress normally.
Do you not know how warm it is outside? Yeah.
No, it's great. Loving the Bermuda shorts. You need to get a pair if you visit Bermuda.
Well, and I loved watching the traffic cops in their Bermuda shorts directing traffic.
Yes. Everyone.
It's a thing.
Everyone, bus drivers, cops, store workers, office workers, everyone wears the shorts.
Excellent. What else do we need to know before we go to Bermuda?
Like I mentioned a few times, Bermuda is incredibly expensive. You can't forget about that, especially if you're staying for a while. It's going to cost you a lot of money, but it's worth it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But still, just expect everything you buy at home, just double the price, and that would be Bermuda prices.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Even if you go to a grocery store, like a liter of milk or a loaf of bread will immediately be like $5 to $10 for either of those. So just expect that and then you'll have a great time. But don't go to Bermuda thinking you can do it on a budget.
Okay. One place I realized as I was looking at my Bermuda photos that we missed that I thought was interesting, in St. George's, there's the unfinished church.
Oh, you're right. I missed that one.
Up on the hill, basically the tiny St. Peter's church that we mentioned, apparently at one point was going to expand to the top of the hill and just never quite got around to finishing it. And now you can tour this unfinished church or walk through. I mean, it's not a fancy tour or whatever.
Yeah. It looks quite impressive, I think.
The other thing I took a number of pictures of were moon gates, the kind of round garden gates with the round gates in them that seemed like a particularly Bermudian thing.
Yeah, you'll find them all over the island. I'm not sure about the symbolism. I think there's a message behind there somewhere, but I'm not sure if I'm the right person to explain that. But you should definitely look into it because it's quite nice. People use it for, like, I think wedding photos and stuff like that. It's a big thing. You'll find them everywhere.
Yeah, apparently there's 40 on the island.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And seems to correspond to a good wish for joy and happiness, but I don't understand the details. Anything else we need to know before we go to Bermuda? Or should we get to our wrap-up questions?
One thing I wanted to mention, because I have it in my mind as like one of my best experiences in Bermuda, was renting like a small boat.
Oh, okay.
A pontoon, I guess you'd say. You can rent these little speedboat things. They don't go very fast, but you actually don't need a boating license or any experience to rent them, which I'm not sure if that's a good idea, but most companies will just give them to you. They cost a few hundred dollars, I think, between like $400 and $800 for a day. And you can fit like 10 people on there. So if you calculate, if you take a lot of people, it's not even that expensive. And you can do whatever you want. You can go wherever. And I think that's a great way to explore the island from the water. If you're a bit careful about driving it, it should be fine.
The other thing, actually thinking of water, that you mentioned we didn't go back into, you mentioned in your introduction, was diving and snorkeling.
Yes, yes.
And where do we want to do that? Not at the Bermuda Aquarium, I assume. That won't allow me to do that.
Yeah, well, if you ask nicely, maybe. But there are nicer spots out there. I think there's like over 300 sunken like shipwrecks.
Oh, my. Okay.
So Bermuda is all about shipwrecks, obviously, because of the famous Bermuda Triangle. Wherever you go, you'll find a shipwreck. But there's lots of scuba diving schools and tours that will take you out to like these impressive just shipwrecks you can explore. Even snorkeling, there's some that aren't that deep in the water and you can see them while you snorkel. So I'd highly recommend exploring like the underwater world.
Do you have a favorite beach to go to for snorkeling or operator to use for scuba or snorkeling?
I think we used to snorkel a lot at Elbow Beach and also Warwick Long Bay. I think you mentioned that one before. Because those are beaches where you can just snorkel from the beach. You can just walk into the water and kind of put your goggles on. You'll see lots of like parrotfish and angelfish. It's very beautiful. And if you want to do a tour, I don't remember the name of the operator, but we did like a glass bottom boat tour.
Okay.
That was also quite nice because you don't even have to go in the water. You can just look like through the glass bottom and see the shipwrecks and everything. So that was quite cool. I unfortunately don't remember the name.
Okay. Well, and that might be a good option for somebody, for instance, especially if you're there with smaller children or older adults that are a little past the snorkeling age, that can be a good family activity.
You can still enjoy the beauties of the island without having to worry about like waves and snorkels and life vests and stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Shall we start to do some of our wrap-up questions then?
Sure, let's go for it.
You were standing in the prettiest spot in Bermuda. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I really like a beach or like a park area more. It's called Astwood Park.
Okay.
It's actually not too far away from the famous Horseshoe Bay, but it's very quiet. You can't actually go down to one of the main beaches because it's like you look down from the top, but the walk down would be very difficult to do, but the beach is very beautiful and I think it's my favorite beach. So I'd say I'd be standing at the top of the cliff kind of looking down because you don't see anyone on the beach. It's always picturesque. It's absolutely beautiful.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Bermuda.
Only in Bermuda. Well, you kind of mentioned the shorts already.
Sorry.
It would be a cop-out answer for me to just say that again, I guess. Something we haven't mentioned yet were the Gombe dancers. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay.
They're not funny per se, but I think I'd say only in Bermuda, because if you go to one of their like performances, they're these like dancers in like big costumes. They're very colorful and they do these like crazy dances, and they're like a cultural event on the island. And I always really enjoyed them. They're very funny, a big hit with kids, obviously, and it's just something you have to see while you're in Bermuda.
I don't think I know this one. Okay.
Really? Oh, they're very specific to the island. I don't think you can find them anywhere else. So very unique.
Okay. Interesting.
There you go. See, I taught you something.
Well, that is part of the goal of this episode, of any episode, is for me to learn something new. I love when I say I did not know that. That is me saying I'm really enjoying this portion of the show.
Oh, nice. That's good to hear.
And if you had to summarize Bermuda in just three words, what three words would you use?
I thought about this before, but I kind of am rethinking my answer.
That's all right.
I'd have to go with like unique, definitely, because I've been to quite a few islands, but mm-hmm. you'd say like, oh, maybe they're similar to Bermuda. They weren't. Nothing really compares to Bermuda for me. I also really enjoy, maybe that's just me, but I'd say it's safe. Okay. Like, I really like that I spent quite a lot of my time in Australia and I didn't really enjoy that everything there can kill you. Bermuda doesn't have any snakes, doesn't really have a big problem with sharks or anything. No, like, I don't know, no bad spiders or nothing. It's just very safe. The beaches are very calm. Even if you have kids, you can kind of let them play in the water. The waves are fine. It's just, it's great. It's a fantastic island if you just want to enjoy your holiday without having to worry about like potential dangers of everything.
Okay.
Was that three? No, I'm missing one word.
That was two. You get an extra word. Or you can save it for next time and do four words next time. That's the
I could. I think I just throw in a random like beautiful, because you can't talk about Bermuda without saying how beautiful it is.
Well, and you say unique, and I think the thing that's different about Bermuda for me is when you go to the Caribbean, for instance, because mm-hmm. it was historically plantations and such, there's more of an Afro community, Afro mm-hmm. Caribbean vibe to the islands and such. And Bermuda has kind of this odd England in the tropics kind of feel to it.
Yes, that summarizes it.
The Bermuda shorts, for instance, why would anybody else but the English be worried about dressing up when you're in this kind of warm weather? And then how would you solve that problem? You're right. It has a different character to it, which I enjoy.
Yes, completely agree.
Excellent. Well, our guest again has been Victoria Heinz from GuideYourTravel.com. And Victoria, when we send people to GuideYourTravel.com to your best Bermuda post, what is that or what will that be when we send them there?
At the moment, I'm a bit behind on my content creation, and I don't actually have a Bermuda post live yet, but there will be one in the future, I promise. So if you do visit my website, you'll find lots of countries and also Bermuda in the future.
And when you do, whether that's before this comes out or after, just send me a link. We'll add it to the show notes of this episode.
I will.
Excellent. Well, Victoria, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for the island or the islands of Bermuda.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me, for letting me ramble on about one of my favorite places in the world.
My thanks go out to patrons of the show who help support the show financially. And special thanks go out to our most recent patron, who is William Hollingworth. Thanks so much, William, for supporting Amateur Traveler. If you would also like to support Amateur Traveler, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.